It's everything Queensland footy.
Good bold football from the Brisbane Lions.
That's a big one for the Suns.
This is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.
Yes, it is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure, bringing you everything AFL in the Sunshine State. And boys, Will Ralston, Jack Folam, usually we'd be starting with the Brisbane Lions because for so long they've dominated. But right now it's all about the all-conquering Gold Coast Suns.
Play the trumpet.
I welcome both of you to the podcast. Fellas, they've now strung together two great wins in a row over quality opposition. And look, we've pumped up their tyres for a very long time. That's what we do here on this podcast. But Jack Folam, you were there front and centre at the game. What a performance from this scrappy outfit.
Yeah, it was a great performance indeed. It was shocking weather down the Gold Coast. Metricon Stadium was pretty much just mud with a thin veneer of grass over the top. And the Suns just out-hunted Freo around the footy and played very simple footy. They won the territory battle. They got it forward. And as what happens in wet weather games, it's the team that goes harder for longer that usually wins. And especially during the second and third quarters, they kept Freo goalless, kept them to about three behinds for two quarters of footy. It was just excellent from the Suns. And it was that intensity, that willingness at the contest that we've been talking about much improved this season. It shone on Sunday. Not a look, if the AFL Namer game service was still going, it's probably not the game that you're going to be requesting mum to buy you on DVD. But great win for the Suns. It's two in a row over top eight opposition, and it was huge.
Will Ralston, our man down in Melbourne, we joked about it last week, but the Gold Coast Suns have beaten three of the top five. Is there any traction down in the southern markets yet about this team?
I think there is a bit of traction, as you can see on like the footy classifieds and on the couch and stuff, starting a bit of overdue love for the Suns, because this has been, it's not just like, oh, the Suns had a banana peel game, took the foot off the Swans, sorry, took the foot off the pedal, or Fremantle choked or something like that. It's now a pattern of good performances against good opposition. And as you were saying, Jack, they played the conditions so much better than Fremantle. And you could tell in the second half, like with Brisbane when they were losing to Adelaide, there was a sense of just, oh, I think they're going to come good. But Freo were not going to come good. It just was not their day, and the Suns simply outplayed them. And seeing Mabby Ochoa in a contest inside Ford 50, everyone would fly up, and he'd just read it off hands, wet footy, slot it through, and it kept happening.
Four of the laziest wet weather goals you'll ever see. Yeah. Actually, lazy's not the wrong word. Just smart.
Yep.
Yeah.
Blokes flying at the footy, and he knew that there is Buckley's chance of anyone actually marking the footy on a day like that.
Well, you know it's going to be a good day in the wet when Big Mab crashes the pack and Witsy is down there front and centre, reads it off the front to start the game. Jared Witts, 34 touches. That's Max Gordon numbers. He's having a season and a half. For the Gold Coast Suns to have him back out in the middle again, it means so much to that midfield group.
It does. And the great thing about Jared Witts too is that he plays a massive percentage of game time, and that he's got Mabwa Chol now to chop out with him in the ruck. And yeah, having him back, he just gives first use to a pretty good on-ball unit. Tuke Miller, probably easily three votes on the weekend. He had an absolute heap of the footy.
Exceptional.
Sean Lemons, I thought, played one of his better games in Gold Coast Suns colours. He was hard at the footy and really provided some dash from half back. So just positives galore for the Suns.
Yeah, and your man, Sam Collins, not that I was never on board, but geez, I'm on board massively. He's got to be in the conversation for one of the best defenders of the year so far. And he was a general, just an absolute general. Read it perfectly when it needed to be read, would come off, would sag back. He's such a quality defender and so reliable.
Unfortunately, wasn't a huge crowd down there at Metricon Stadium on Sunday, but when there isn't a big crowd, it actually lets you hear how loud Sam Collins is. Like, you can hear him from the commentary box,
and you
barking orders, ordering blokes around, telling them where they should be, and he's the loudest player, I think, in the AFL by a mile. Really started noticing that in 2020 when we didn't have crowds for a lot of the season, but he is a general.
Well, we talk about a no-name back six, and that's usually the success to a great side. Now, look at the name of Collins, Thompson, Ballard, Powell, Lemons, and Budrick. Right now, that back six is getting the job done for the Gold Coast Suns. And put these guys on your radar right now. Start filling out your Supercoach teams, because they repelled 65 inside 50s. Is ridiculous numbers to have coming at you. And all day long in tough conditions, they managed to make it work against a very dangerous Fremantle opposition.
There was a passage in the second quarter where I think Freo spent about 10 minutes just camped inside forward 50. Probably had about 15 entries and repeat entries, and they scored one behind from it. And yeah, it just goes to show the Gold Coast desperation.
I would just quickly like to touch on, and again, we spoke about him last week, and for him to put two of these performances back-to-back is just as impressive as the Suns. Isaac Rankin, this could have been his best game ever for the Suns. 14 out of 18 contested disposals and 11 score involvement. So I think he's starting to realise now as a player, he doesn't have to directly impact the scoreboard to impact the game. So whoever has been in his ear, whether it be his line coach or Stewie Jew, well done, because we're getting the best out of this very talented young man at the moment.
Now, looking forward, because the finals picture, I've kind of been flagging it almost in jest the last couple of weeks. Last week, it started to look a little more serious. Now they're 4-5. They've beaten 3rd, 4th, and 5th on the ladder. They've played the top six. They've got North Melbourne times two.
Mm-hmm.
They have Hawthorn times two.
Great.
Essendon, Adelaide, Collingwood, Richmond are obviously a bit tougher. And the Bulldogs in Ballarat this week, which is, of course, a challenge.
Our spiritual home.
Their run home, there's a couple of tough ones in there, of course. They have to play Brisbane twice every season, but it is just about as easy as it gets.
If they go 8-5 over the second half of the season, that gives them 12-10. And in recent years, that's been finals worthy.
That's been more than enough, yeah.
And especially will be this year.
Yeah, it's going to be very contested in that, already in that middle section of the competition. So, look, we know how equalisation can work out, but you're right. The hardest part of the season is over for the Gold Coast Suns. Now, Jack, you cottoned on to something about the Gold Coast Suns just before the game. And as you described it, one of the most Gold Coast things to ever happen to this club.
Yes, Bizarro World is pretty much Metricon Stadium. It is. It's one of the Bermuda Triangles of football.
Isn't it?
Weird shit goes on.
We've spoken about the Gold Coast effect and the Bermuda Street Triangle.
So about 45 minutes before the game, Rhys Shaw, who is the Suns' assistant coach, his development coach, and he's also the runner for the team, fails a rat test.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Out with COVID. And the Suns are a bit frantic, going, well, hey, our runner's gone.
You can't use a player, can you?
You can't use a player.
Okay.
It has to be.
Is that a rule?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it has to be someone that's actually cleared for on-ground access. So
right.
It's a very limited pool of people that you can put in as the runner.
Mascot?
Anyway, the media manager, Tom Beverley,
wow,
has stuck his hand up, and you could just see that was a bloke living the dream.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I love that.
It was like someone had let a Labrador onto the ground between goals. I've never seen someone run out onto a footy field with as much gusto. It was truly heartwarming.
Now, is he a bit of an athlete? Is he a bit of a runner?
I wouldn't say so.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call him unathletic.
No, he's a jogger.
Yeah.
Now, Jack, all of us in our profession, we've dealt with media managers over the years. So I'd love to know how these messages are being delivered. Is Dewey get down the line going, mate, you got to grab Tuke just for 5 minutes? Going, look, I don't know, mate. I don't know if I can grab Tuke. I think he's a bit busy. He's done a bit of media so far. So how about I'll grab you lemons. How about lemons? We can do it in 15? Like, nah.
Charlie Ballard's free if you want me to talk to him.
I've got Charlie Ballard for you anytime. He's good. He loves to talk.
Oh, that's funny.
So, will that happen again?
Well, I don't think we'll probably see it in AFL for a while.
All right, we'll put that one down.
It was just wonderful.
That's wholesome.
And you're also sitting up there in the box going, geez, I wish I could be doing that.
Yeah,
that
I looks bet like you so were. Much fun. I bet you were.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at the Brisbane Lions quickly, because they got the job done against Adelaide. Although I will say, I had a mini heart attack when I looked at the scores at halftime. The Crows threw everything they could at them in that second quarter, but the class shone through afterwards. Will, a great performance, but focusing first on the return of Eric Hipwood. How good was it to see him back out there?
I love Eric Hipwood. Oh, my God. He did everything right other than getting a goal or two. That's all he deserved them to. He would have set up 5, I think I saw, and he was strong above his head. He didn't shirk any contest. He was happy to fly. He looks like a guy who's got confidence in his body, and it was just the perfect return game, I thought. I would have loved him to nail that one that he probably should have, but luckily we didn't really require it on the scoreboard at that point in the game. But a great return for Eric at a very vital time.
Well, it was a beautiful moment as well where he hit the deck but managed to have the presence of mind to slap the footy forward along to Charlie Cameron, who finished there. And speaking of Charlie, 4 goals to him. First of all, as we've spoken about in the last couple of weeks, his inaccuracy now has gone out the window. He has been a dead-eye dick, but he would have known that he had to perform that game, not just against his old club, but you couldn't have too much pressure on Eric Hipwood to be the only tall to score goals. So the small forwards have had to stand up at times. But Charlie really took the opportunity of that four, Jack.
Absolutely, he did. And talk about Charlie's accuracy improvements in the last couple of weeks. The Lions, over the course of the season, another 16 goals, six. And you have a look on, you know, based on scoring shots, based on, you know, the stats from the game, Lions don't kick straight. This is actually a pretty close game.
Mm. Yeah.
Because Adelaide were in it and gave them all they could handle up until halftime. And I think this is going to make a world of difference come finals time. And you have a look at recent finals that the Lions have played
Absolutely.
In.
Absolutely.
They kick straight, they win. But it's great to see. Hipwood coming back was, I feel like he has almost added a string to his bow in the way that he was flying for the football. I think it's actually the hardest I've ever seen Eric Hipwood attack the footy in the air. It was almost like Dan McStay was out there in Eric Hipwood's body. Mm. It was great.
Do you reckon, has he packed on a bit more on the gym over a period of time?
Yeah, I also like the more serious short back and sides haircut on Eric Hipwood.
It's so much easier to take him seriously, isn't it, with that haircut?
I didn't actually. Yeah, you're right. I didn't actually
recognize him. Workmanlike.
I didn't recognize him for a second. I looked up at the screen at the pub. I was like, oh, geez, who's number 30?
30?
Who's old, mate? I'm like, oh, it's Hippy.
I think it's also worth mentioning the form of Cam Rayner and his improvement since he's been back this year, as we're touching on Eric Hipwood and his ACL. Some of those contests that he hit at 100% speed, didn't break stride, the seas would part for him, no one would touch a finger on him, and belting at 70 metres, often perfect accuracy, like that goal on the run. It's exciting when you see the glimpses of what Cam Rayner can do, and we saw a few glimpses. Now we've just got to start stringing together four quarters of it, because that's still his only negative, I think, is that he can go a little bit missing.
Yeah, but the good thing is he's playing like a man who is making up for lost time.
For sure.
Because he knew, and the talk about him ahead of last season was that he was due for his breakout season.
Yeah.
And have that taken away from him, I reckon he spent that entire 12 months just going, I'm going to make everything possible I can in 2022. And so far, he's delivering. He's already in double digits for goals. He's hitting the scoreboard. And Jesus, you're right. I saw one still photo of him looking at the footy before he attacked it.
Yeah.
And you would not want to be in his way.
And another great thing from Saturday night was the ruck combination. Big Oscar had 40 hit-outs, kicked a goal to go along with it, and Big Darcy Fort had 19 as well. So 59 hit-outs between your ruck combination. They just dominated the air. I think between them, they are possibly the best ruck combination in the league at the moment.
Oh,
well,
I think the Demons had something to say about that.
Okay, Gorn and Jackson.
Yeah.
But they're clear. I think they're number two.
Well, it's an exciting time of the year for the Brisbane Lions. They'll take on Hawthorne, Sir Doug Nicholls' Indigenous round. And we saw last week Darryl White unveiling the club's Guernsey. And Jack, you were pretty happy with this one.
Well, I'm a huge fan of the Bears' 1996 Guernsey.
It's a beautiful kit.
I think it's one of the crispest football kits ever made. And yeah, it actually hurts me a little that the Lions don't roll it out more.
You're big
on this.
Or don't
even have it. I'd love to see it come out as the Lions' home Q Clash Guernsey.
Okay.
To actually pay homage to the Bears. We see the Fitzroy Guernsey a lot in Melbourne, but the Bears kind of fly under the radar. So I'd love to see that. But, you know, Indigenous Guernsey designed by Darryl White, one of the former players of the club, pays homage to the 20 years since the 2002 grand final. It's a great looking Indigenous Guernsey.
And the long sleeves when he ripped off the sports jacket to reveal the long sleeves. That was delicious.
Yeah, you've got a soft spot for long sleeves.
Now, Will, I know Jack doesn't want to bring it up, but Darryl White once did an absolute number on Jack one day.
How'd he make?
We have to talk about it. We have to talk about the day. Was it Alex Hills?
Yep. So Darryl White was playing for Alex Hills.
Oh, he played.
I was playing for the Kedron Lions. I was. Yeah. I played in the reserves before, and then one of the guys in the senior team had gone down with a hamstring injury in the warm-up. So get put on the ground, go to full back. So Darryl White had already kicked about five goals at this stage.
Just
put on the ground, go to full back, on Darryl White. He kicked four goals on me in 5 minutes, and I got dragged.
Wow.
I played 5 minutes of game time, and Darryl White kicked four goals on me. And it's
did you have any impact whatsoever on the contest?
Look,
other than,
I'm not gonna lie, I tried to give him an ear massage, and I missed.
Yeah, right. He knows what's coming,
and he was about 45 at this stage too.
Yeah.
So yeah, just one of the most emasculating experiences I've had on a football field, and
we're so glad that I brought it up.
Oh, what a star he is.
Yeah, so thanks for that, Nick.
You're so welcome. That's been Northern Exposure for another week. And, of course, don't forget the countdown is on for the 2022 Allies side to be named. Not long now until the AFL tries to roll out something to rival State of Origin. Origin content, it's on its way. The selectors will meet, and very soon we will have a lineup.
I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Ben Keys starting on ball.
I would hope so.
This is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.